To Esme, it seemed as if she had entered another world as soon as her eyes closed upon this one, for she found herself standing atop a high plateau in a dark and featureless land. She turned and saw men laboring nearby, bearing heavy burdens on their backs, passing by her to the very edge of the plateau. She followed at a distance and soon came to a great pyre. The men carried bundles of firewood which they dumped onto the mound and then took their places in a ring around it. Next to the pyre stood a man with a torch in his hand. When all had thrown their wood upon the stack, the torchman thrust his torch into the timbers, but though the flames from the torch licked out and leaped among the ricks, the fuel did not ignite. The torchman withdrew his flame in frustration.
More wood!
The laborers disappeared in search of more firewood, leaving Esme alone with the torchman.
What are you doing, sir?
I am building a beacon fire that the people of the valley may see it, for they travel in darkness with no signal to guide them.
Why did you not light the signal then?
I have tried, but the fuel is old and damp and will not catch. I have called for more wood, but it is sure to be too wet as well.
Esme was overcome with the utter futility of the enterprise and turned away. Suddenly, the landscape shifted. The dark land faded, and she found herself on a cliff near the sea, where the waves rolled endlessly, tearing themselves against the rocks and washing onto the shore. She looked and saw a tower rising up and workmen on scaffolds laying stone, building the tower higher. She moved closer and watched as the masons raised row upon row of stonework, while the quarrymen piled fresh materials beneath them on the ground. Then, without warning, a portion of the wall leaned out precariously and split away from the tower wall. The whole tower quivered, and portions began crumbling down. The workmen leapt from the scaffold and ran to get clear of the falling rock as the walls collapsed and stone plunged into the sea. When the catastrophe was over, Esme approached the ruins and spoke to one of the workmen.
Why did the tower fall?
See, the foundation is old and soft. It crumbles away when we build on it.
If the old foundation will not hold, why do you not build a new foundation?
We have no master to show us how to lay a new foundation.
Where is your master mason?
Esme glanced around and saw no one who seemed prepared to assume leadership of the workmen. The man did not answer, only shrugged and shook his head.
I will find a master mason who will show you how to build aright, and I will bring him to you.
Esme stopped, for the workmen and the tower had vanished like smoke on the wind, and she stood now not on a cliff by the sea, but in a busy marketplace where farmers sold their produce and merchants their wares. The market bustled with buyers and sellers. Esme passed by the butcher's stall and saw him cutting up a carcass, slicing meat from a large bone. With a wink to her, the butcher, dressed in a long dark robe, took the bone and tossed it out of the stall, where instantly it was pounced upon by hungry dogs, who came running from every corner of the marketplace. The dogs fell upon the bone and began fighting over it, first one dog snapping at it, then another. A crowd gathered to watch the fight as savage snarls and growls filled the air.
Stop it! Please, somebody stop it!
But the onlookers did not heed her, and the dogs fought ever more fiercely. She buried her face in her hands and turned away, but the terrible sounds grew louder, and when she looked again, she saw not a long, clean length of bone on the ground, but a square of cloth in the jaws of the dogs. Each had a corner of the cloth and was pulling on it, worrying it in his teeth in furious effort to free the cloth from the other dogs. And on the cloth, Esme saw a device, a red, writhing dragon.
Stop!